I'm not going to introduce these precious ladies individually as they come up. I'm just going to tell you who's coming up, and then they will come up one after another. And I just want to, there's something that they're going to release this morning. You might think it's Mother's Day and, you know, kind of the Hallmark type, you know, deals happening, but there's something rich of the deposit of God in these women that they're going to give to us. And we're gonna leave with a deposit this morning. So the other thing that I want to recognize in these three women is their yes. Like, I had three ladies in mind to have speak this morning. They're each going to take a little bit of time, one after another. And without exception, each one of them said yes. And I just love that, because I think that this is an hour where God is looking for a yes in our spirits. I mean, certainly don't let no be your first answer. At least pray about it. But there was a yes in every one of these ladies. So one after another, they're going to come. Dawn is going to come first. And then Sarah is going to come. And then Valerie will come. Thank you. Give them a big round of applause.
I'm just going to move the pulpit. It's nice to see everyone. I don't get to see you guys from this position. But welcome, everyone. Who believes that God wants to make himself known to us? Amen. He does. And he does that in many ways. The one we probably first think of is by opening his word and reading what he says to us in his word. And the word is very precious. And so many of us have learned the famous stories from the time we were little till now. And they're amazing stories. When you think of Daniel in the lion's den and you think how God showed himself to be Daniel's deliverer, it's a powerful story. But there's nothing like when God delivers us, when we're in our own lion's den, to make us really understand and know who God is. And that's what I want to share with you today, are just some personal stories of God experientially and personally revealing who he is to me. So hopefully you'll bear with me through these stories. I have with me, besides the Bible, a jar of stones. These stones are remembrance stones. And I think it's important that we have these remembrance stones in our lives, whether they're physical stones or whether they're just memories. And in fact, throughout Scripture, the Lord tells us to remember different events. We celebrate Christmas, we celebrate Easter, we celebrate Passover, we celebrate first fruits, we celebrate Sukkot, we celebrate all these things, and God tells us to do it over and over and over again. And why is that? So that we will remember who he is, and we will remember the great works that God has done in our lives. So today is going to be a time for me to remember and for me to share some of these moments in my own life. And interestingly enough, a lot of my remembrance stones come from being a parent. And I think part of that is when you're a mother, you feel things very strongly for your children. And when things go awry, it hurts deeper than other things. And at least for me, that seems to be the case. So let me share with you a few of my remembrance stones. So our first born child, his name is Seth. And any of you who have been a mother, and when you hold that newborn baby in your arms, it is overwhelming. And I remember very vividly sitting with Seth and just looking at him like every new mother does. And the thought that came to me was, the Son of God came to earth as a helpless baby, just like the one I'm holding now, this baby that can't do anything for itself. He needs me to feed him. He needs me to clothe him. He needs me to clean him up. He needs me to give him shelter. And it just hit me how much Jesus humbled himself to become human flesh, that he would get to that place, that he would allow himself to be so helpless, so dependent. And that takes years. He had to rely on his parents for years and years. And that really hit me. And what kind of flowed over me at that point was the depth of love that my Heavenly Father must have for the human race, for myself, that he, and the depth of love that Jesus would have to be able to humble himself for such a long period of time in human fleshly body to such a helpless degree just really overwhelmed me. So one of my remembrance stones that God taught me at that point was God is love in a way that I hadn't thought of before. The next story I'd like to share with you is about Nava. Most of you know Nava. She's off on her honeymoon right now in Spain with Joel, so it's pretty exciting for them. But when Nava started life, she was a healthy baby, but she wasn't growing the way she should have. And she was very skinny and fussy, and we tried everything, and she just didn't seem to be putting on the weight. And in the midst of that, God had put on Marty's heart a desire to go to the Dominican Republic and do short-term mission work. And Nava's not even 3 months old and not doing well. And I remember struggling with that and saying, Lord, I do feel like you put this call on our hearts to go do this. But this child, this infant, she's not doing well. She's not doing well. And the Lord, of course, spoke to me through his word. And I will read to you what he said to me. It's right out of Isaiah 58. Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then, like this word then really hit me, because these were the things that we should be doing. Then, it says, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. And it goes on a little bit further on. It says, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. He will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. And actually, this one section where it says, and will strengthen your frame, in the Old King James, it says, put fat on you. And I knew the Lord was speaking at that point, but at this point, it's quite a wrestling match. I didn't want to take a three-month-old infant to somewhere where the sanitation isn't as good and there weren't the facilities and all the rest of it. But to make the long story short, we went. And it was there that Nava started putting on weight. So there's another remembrance stone. God is a God who keeps his promises. When he asks you to do something, he will do what he says he's going to do. Now let's talk about Aaron, since he's right here. I have a million stories about each one of the children, but I decided to choose the ones that you guys knew. Aaron, so we're going fast forwarding 4 years from that point with Nava. 4 years later, and Aaron is 3 months old, and he's in the Dominican Republic with us, and we're living in our little shack doing our ministry. And it had been a very rainy, rainy year. And Aaron got sick, and he had a very high fever, and he wasn't nursing. And, needless to say, as a mother, I worried. And I remember thinking, Lord, should we go to the doctor? Should we try to go to the hospital? But at that point, with all the rain and where we were situated, you couldn't get out by vehicle. So we would have had to walk through the mud quite a ways to get to a main road to flag someone down to go to the hospital. And I remember it was the middle of the night, sitting in a rocking chair, rocking Aaron, trying to console him, trying to get him to eat, and just crying out and crying out and crying out to the Lord. And just a wave of peace came over me at one point. And Aaron went to sleep, and I fell asleep. And by morning, his fever had broken. And he was nursing and had lots of energy, and the Lord had completely restored him. And so, yeah, praise God. And he's healthy today. There he is. Almost 18. Another remembrance stone. God revealed to me again who he was. He is healer. He is healer. So praise the Lord for that. Another story, because I love stories. We, at this point, are in the Bahamas. We're living on the boat. For those of you who don't know, we spent 10 years living on a boat, sailing back and forth to the Dominican Republic and Canada. And we had just left the Dominican Republic after doing our ministry there, and we were sailing back to the Bahamas. Marty was scheduled to fly from the Bahamas back to Canada to work for a couple of weeks, and I would stay with the kids on the boat in the Bahamas. Before we left the Dominican Republic, we had to pay our marina bill, and our credit card wouldn't work. And our secondary credit card had been compromised while we were still in the U.S., so we were out credit cards. And thankfully, we always carry cash with us, so we were able to pay our marina bill and got out and traveled to the Bahamas. But needless to say, the sailing kitty was empty. There was no money left, and supplies were low as well on the boat. But I figured, okay, we have some canned things around and some rice. We'll do okay. We'll survive. So Marty flew off. We're anchored in the Bahamas, the kids and I, and everything's going as normal. We met some of the boaters that were also anchored there. And then one morning, one of the boaters we had talked to previously came and knocked on our hull and said to us, "We have a family emergency in the United States, and we have to travel back to the United States. I have all this food on board. We know that you have lots of children on board. Would you like our food?" So we went over expecting to get a few things. They had originally said just some meat in the freezer, but when we got there, they just kept sending bags after bags after bags of food onto our little dinghy. We went back to the boat. I remember we had an assembly line getting all the bags up and into the boat. And I remember Shemaiah, that's our oldest daughter, our second born, she was looking in the bags all excited as they came in. And there was like steaks and salmon steaks and things that I never buy because they're too expensive. So, and yeah, really nice cheeses and crackers and all these things that when you have six children, you just don't buy. You just buy cheddar cheese and that's it. And Ritz, and just the little Ritz crackers. But anyways, as the last bag went up and Shemaiah opened that last bag, her joy just couldn't be contained anymore, and she burst into tears, and she said, "And there's even M&Ms. So not only is God provider, I'm telling you, we ate like kings. Marty was up north not eating nearly as well as we were eating on the boat with salmon steaks and all the rest of this, and M&Ms for dessert. It was very powerful. So that's another way that God showed to us that who he is. And I just want to share a story, a very recent story, last weekend, in fact, of who God showed himself to be to us. Last weekend was Nav and Joel's wedding. And as some of you know, it was an outdoor wedding. And probably nobody was watching the weather as quickly as closely as we were, and it was looking bad, really bad. Rainy, cold, right up to about 3 days. Wasn't it 3 days before, Marty? It was still looking like 80% chance of rain. We had an opportunity to use a church close by, and we were bugging Nava and Joel and saying, should we take them up on this offer? Should we take this? It's 80% chance of rain. It's only going to be 14 degrees. It's going to be miserable. And they said, nope, we're just going to, we really want the outdoor wedding at Joel's family cottage, so we're going to do that. Well, every day, every 12 hours, we would check the weather. Every 12 hours, the weather got better and better and better. And it was a beautiful, warm day on Saturday. Rained on Sunday when we tore everything down, but it was a beautiful day on Saturday. And it wasn't looking like that 3 days before. So another remembrance stone, God is grace. He showers grace on us over and over again. Now, I'd like to say that my memory stones are all good ones, but I do have another jar. And these ones are my not so good memories. And I know we all have these as well. Times when we've questioned God, times when God hasn't really answered the way we wanted to. And I started looking at some of these stones in here, and I realized that one of these stones in here was back before we had children. I miscarried 4 times, and I don't know why, and I don't know why that had to happen. And you sort of think, Lord, why is that? But then when I look in here and I see all the blessings that God has blessed us with, and with 6 children, I can't help but say, okay, Lord, you're sovereign. You're the one that opens and closes the womb. I don't understand why that happened, but Lord, you are sovereign. And that is who he is. So he did show me who he was, even in that hard one. And there are many others, like I didn't get the job I wanted, that I was trained for, ended up in a job that I wasn't fully trained for. But again, when I look at my jar of blessings, I realize, you know, the Lord did a lot in that job and through that job. You know, when I look at, you know, I ended up, because I had 4 maternity leaves in 5 years, I was not allowed to work any longer in my preferred profession because my governing body shut me down and said, nope, you haven't worked enough hours. And I thought, Lord, why did you take this away from me when you opened the door in the first place, against all odds, for me to get into school and to do this? But then again, I look in this jar and I realize that God opened the door for me to homeschool our children. He opened the door for us to be able to go for 2 months a year to do mission work. He opened the door for us to be able to go on the boat. And I wouldn't have done that if I kept my job. So again, God is the God who knows the future. God is the God who knows what's best for us. And even when doors close and you don't want them to close and you don't understand why they close, God still knows. You know, my favorite scene in the Prince of Egypt movie, if any of you have seen it, is when Jesse, Moses' father-in-law, has this big tapestry, this rug, and he was talking about each thread of the tapestry. And sometimes in our lives, we have a red thread going through there and said, Lord, why did I have to bleed so much for this in this situation? You know, there's a blue thread that gets put in the tapestry, and you say, Lord, why were there so many tears? Why did that have to happen? You know, there's a black thread that goes through. Lord, why did I have to go through this really dark, dark time? And you know, Sometimes we don't know until the end, and we can look back at the end, and when God shows us the tapestry of our lives, we'll see that those threads running through are part of what make that tapestry beautiful. And so the reason why I'm sharing all this with you right now is because this is a good reminder for me. I need to be reminded of this because this week I'm heading into a difficult week with one of our children, a very difficult week. And it is good to remember that for all of these stones, I have been on this side of that miracle before. And I don't know how everything's going to play out, but it is good for me to remember who God is, what he's done in the past, so that when we walk into difficult situations, we can remember all these things. We can remember that God is sovereign. We can remember that God is love. We can remember that God is healer. We can remember that God is provider. We can remember all of these things. And we can walk in with faith and confidence, knowing that he's in control. And I'm sure, yes, praise God, right? Praise God. And I know every mother in this place has walked through hard times, has walked through uncertainty, has walked through times of doubt, has walked through so many things. And my encouragement to all of us, me included, because I'm speaking to myself right now, is that we remember those times when God has been God, when God has been who we needed him to be, when he has sustained us through it, through all these things, when he has done over and above what we could even ask or imagine. That's what we need to remember as we are on this side of the miracle, as we are on this side of eternity, and we don't know what the end of the story is going to look like in each situation. So that's my encouragement to you. So let's remind ourselves, shall we, over and over again? I just want to read one passage in closing before I move on. This is in Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And now it's Sarah's turn.
That was awesome.
Blessings.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was really awesome. I feel like I just have underlines of what Dawn shared. My name is Sarah, and I've actually always wanted to speak on Mother's Day. My whole life. Not because I'm a mom and I have great things to say, because I don't really think that. It's because I'm a daughter. And I've always wanted to be able to tell the mothers that I know and that I don't know how incredible you are. And I've always wanted to be able to say how important you are and how without you, no one would be here. All of us have a mom. And you might have an awesome mom, and you might have a mom that was super difficult. You might have a mom that has passed away recently, or a mom that passed away a long time ago. Maybe you never knew your mom, or maybe your mom is the one who adopted you. Maybe you've been rejected or abused by your mom, or maybe your mom has been your role model your whole entire life. But without mothers, none of us would be here. And throughout my whole life, I've always just believed that there was such an importance in honoring the older generation and honoring our mothers and our fathers. And I've always just wanted to be able to look at different mothers. And I've had my own mom, who I love so much, but I've also had so many spiritual mothers, Sunday school mother, teacher mothers, whatever, people who have just mothered me, cared for me, been an example for me. And as a daughter, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for all of the work, the tears, the time that you've put in, the love. There's just such an importance I've always believed that mothers have and know. And I just think that one of the commandments that God has is to honor our father and our mother. And I just think, wow, that is so, so important. For me, as some of you might know, I'm the oldest of 10 children. And so this means that I've gotten to see parents throughout my a very long time, over and over again, taking care of babies, children, teenagers, and adults. And by the time I was 22 years old, that's when my youngest brother was born. And at that point in my life, I had already changed hundreds of diapers myself. And I was not a mom. Yeah, I felt like I had a lot of practice. Throughout my whole life, I've been a nanny full-time or part-time. I've taken care of children my entire life. I didn't become a mother till I was 38. So by the time I became a mom, I just felt like I was going to be a pretty good mom. And other people would tell me that I was going to be a pretty good mom, and I was like, yeah, I think you're right. I've had a lot of experience. But it took me maybe like a second or like half a second after my daughter was born to realize that being a caregiver or a nanny would be different than being the actual mother of a child. And I did not expect it to be challenging or difficult. I actually, as soon as my daughter was born, I knew I would like die for her. I loved her so, so, so much. And I also realized I knew zero about being a mom. Oopsies. Anyway. I did not know that it would be difficult or hard. There's like, I seriously will die for my daughter. I love her so, 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 so much. But also, it's just been like, it's difficult. Like, sometimes I'm just like, someone should call this my daughter's mom and like, take care of her because she's having a tantrum on the floor. Then I realize that I'm the mom. And no one's gonna come. There's a lot of things I've realized that I didn't know. And throughout being a mom and just during my few years, less than 5 years of being a mother of my child, life's been really difficult. And not all of it has to do with being a mom, but it's just life's been difficult. And I think we all can understand about life being difficult or even having expectations, like me thinking I was going to be a really awesome mom and then finding out I'm just normal with nothing special, actually. And I think that we all can relate to just having those expectations and them not going the way we thought they would go. And for me, that has been my story. And over the last few years, as I'm sure you have experienced as well, I've had so many trials, troubles, tribulations or whatever. But I think when we think of the promises of God, we often think of like the good things, the blessings. But one of the main promises of God is that in this world, we will have trouble. And I can definitely testify, as I'm sure you can testify, you probably have one or two troubles in your life, maybe more. And over this time of being a mom, and it's not about being a mom, it's just that life happens. I still have to live life and be a mom. When you babysit, you can just go and be done and continue living separately. But life happens at the same time. And for me, a verse that is just I've held on over and over for me is from a psalm that you know very well, Psalm 23. And there's been times in my life over the last few years that even reading the Bible is such a challenge, depending on what is happening. But Psalm 23, as I'm sure for you, you have it memorized and it's almost in you. And the verse that I say over and over, and I have it written by my front door when I walk out, is in Psalm 23, verse 4. And of course, it's talking about how the Lord is our shepherd, the one who takes care of us in all these situations and provides for us. And it says, for you are with me. And I just have to tell myself that over and over and over again, for you, God, are with me. And without him being with me, I could not do anything that I do, very much like what Dawn had been sharing already. And for me, it's just been such an incredible example to think of what is it meaning for God to be actually with me? We can just say all these verses and say all these cute, lovely things, but the reality is God, the King of the universe, the Creator of the world, is with us, and he's with me, and he's with you. And that is what I want to leave you with, is that God is with us. And for me, the way that I actually have experienced God with me, and there's a whole spiritual aspect of peace and wisdom and strength that comes from, we don't know, it just comes to us from the Holy Spirit. But the way that God has actually been with me is through you, through my family and my friends as well, and through people practically helping me. And the way I've always wanted to be strong for the Lord and be able to do all amazing things, and I've just discovered that I'm just me. And you are just you, but together we can be strong. And I've just found when people have come and brought me food, taken care of my child, helped me with something, provided practically, I've been able to see God with me. And I just want to encourage you, because at the end of the day, all of us are just daughters and sons. And we have a Father, a King, who is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He's above this whole universe, all the creation, all the people, all the wars, all the wonderful things, and he just loves us, and he cares for us, and he cares for each one of us. Today, when I was driving here, I just love seeing the flowers on the road on Mother's Day. I just want to buy them all. I just want to give them to everyone. And just like, happy Mother's Day. I just think it's so beautiful and so wonderful. And I just want the people to know, like, you are loved. You are loved. You are cared about. And it's not just these, like, cute words on a card. It's the reality that you are loved, and you are called a son and a daughter. For me, I've been able to be loved by earthly parents as well, but some of us are not. But God is enough, but he's enough through you. And I just love Dawn's stories she had to share, and I'm sure you all have similar stories. I have a very similar story that after my daughter was born and she was 2.5 months old, I went back to Haiti, where I had been a missionary for almost 10 years at that point, or 11 years. And her dad was there, and I felt that it was very important that we go back to Haiti. It was in 2019. Right now, Haiti is doing awful, but in 2018 is when it started to do bad, and now I'm going back in 2019 in this story. And many people told me not to take Christina there, not to go back, but I just believed I needed to go. And it was very dangerous. Gangs at the time, and they still are, just ruling the streets. And it's very, like, poverty. Anyways, and then something else that was interesting, and I have a lot of failures, and I have a lot of problems. I can share you hours and hours of them. But thank God is King of Kings. So one of them is I was not able to nurse my daughter. So as a missionary who's on like financial, people help you financially, that's not really the greatest thing to be on formula because it's expensive, but I had to be on formula for my daughter, or my daughter had to be on formula. So I just felt to pack up 6 weeks worth of formula, and I felt like the Lord was going to bring us back after 6 weeks, and we ended up being there for 5 months in Haiti with Christina on formula. And after we'd been there for about 6 weeks, we're in a staff meeting one day, and they announced, because of all the gangs closing all the roads, there was no clean water at the water filter place. So I burst into tears, of course, and panicked. And my friend was like, you have to trust the Lord. And I was like, trust the Lord, there's no water. Anyway, we never ran out of bottled water, which is what I used. And I don't know why, but we just never ran out of bottled water the entire time. That's not the testimony. The testimony is that also we are running out of formula because I didn't have any. And this is my little daughter at the time. She's like 3.5 months old or something. So I was kind of panicking and freaking out, as I'd like to do. And so I was telling some of my friends there, I have no more formula. I don't really know what to do. It's so easy to trust the Lord when you're like on your own and no one to like take care of. And then you have to take care of others. It's more scary for me. Maybe not for you. But anyway, so I told my friends we're almost out of formula, and they told friends who told friends, and there was a group in Florida that got a package of just this huge box of formula, and they sent it down to me in Haiti, and they sent the exact brand I wanted, which I didn't need, but I wanted. And I just think, like, God cares, and I've just seen the Lord take care of my own daughter even when I can't, and the Lord has taken care of her over and over in practical ways. And for me, I just want you to know how much the Lord loves you and wants to take care of you in practical ways. And yes, we need to pray, and yes, we need to worship, and yes, we need to sit still and quiet with the Lord 100%, 400%, absolutely. But practically in your day-to-day, God wants to show you that he is with you, and he calls you his sons and you're his daughters. And before I put Christina to bed at night, and after I pray for her, I always sing her this song, and I stroke her head, and I will not sing it for you, but I will tell it to you. And it comes from Ephesians chapter 1 at the beginning. And I stroke her forehead and I say, Mommy loves you. Daddy loves you. Yes, we love you. And then I stroke her head continually while she's lying there and I say, and you are loved and you are chosen and you are called and you are wanted and I love you. And I just pray over that over her every single night. And I share this because I believe God wants you to hear those words for yourself. And I don't know what kind of mother you had, because we've all had mothers. I don't know what kind of mother you didn't have. But I know the love of God, and what he wants to tell you today is that you are loved, you are chosen, you are called, and you are wanted. And he loves you so much. And I pray that today you can remember that, and when you look at each other, you can remember that you are a daughter and you are a son, and God loves you and God loves me, and that is how we walk, and that would be how we'd celebrate Mother's Day as well as every single day.
I'm the last one, don't worry.
So it's so good to hear the stories, eh? I'm finding that like the verse about the word of our testimony is how we overcome. So these are beautiful to hear. I'm going to give you maybe a couple more. So I just have a couple thoughts, and sort of this is how I process speaking, which is not something I ever do. So in preparing for Sunday school, because that's I usually teach, one of the ideas that I thought about as I see in Scripture was the idea of invitation. You know, like Jesus says, come follow me, an invitation. And when I was, you know, at Easter time, we were doing the Garden of Gethsemane, and he even invited his disciples, and he says, come, watch with me and pray, an invitation. And the last one, like we're now preparing for, well, we haven't done the feeding of the 5,000 yet. So in preparing for that, I see this invitation. Like he says to his disciples, don't send them away. You give them something to eat. Like he's inviting them into a miraculous provision. Even with the, 2 fish, 5 loaves, it's another invitation. He says, bring them to me. And he takes our little and he makes it more than enough. I love that. So a couple stories in my life about invitation. Make it personal again, the word of my testimony. So marriage and motherhood is something I've always wanted. Those were my dreams. And I'm finding that, you know, our dreams, our heart's desires become invitations when they are aligned with his purposes. They are invitations. So, of course, I said, yes, I'll marry. I'll marry you. And yes, I will have children willingly. But entering into these, what do you call them, marriage and motherhood, I just knew that I didn't know. You know what I mean? Like, you go into something, you know you don't know. That's how I ended these. So it was an invitation to trust. So with our firstborn, Rebecca, I was pregnant. And during that time, the Chernobyl, is that how you say it? The nuclear disaster happened. And it happened on April 26th at noon. And then there was news in the Ottawa News a couple days later that the jet stream had brought this radiation over and it could be infecting the cows. And I'm thinking, I'm drinking so much milk. And you know how you kind of, I don't know, panic, but the concern, you know, what's going on in my body to this, you know, developing child? Is the radiation getting to her? So of course, I think my default is to fear. Anyway, it was an invitation to trust. And so I just went to the Lord. Like, where else do you go? So I went to the Lord, and I opened up the word, and it came to Psalm 91. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, and it goes on, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. And I thought, thank you, Lord. And I just began to trust. You know, where else do you go? So one more story. Near the end of our second pastorate, we were in the Southern Ontario. And we were, as a church, we were taking communion. And I heard these words. And I knew they weren't mine because I didn't think like this. And it was a question. And I heard, are you willing to suffer for me? And I just really paused and I thought, what does that mean? Like, what kind of invitation is that? And I didn't hear any response. There was nothing. And so I just looked at the bread. I looked at the cup. And I just said, yes, Lord, I'm willing. And a few days later, we found out that there had been a letter that was sent around to the members only of this church. It had been a time when there was like an outpouring of God, like back in the 1990s. So our church was seeing a lot of, you know, young families come in and, you know, it changed things up quite a bit. And I guess I felt that they wanted their church back. And so they ended up having this vote where only the members could vote, and all these young families that had come in, of course, weren't members. So in a very short time, we were jobless, houseless, and again, I was invited once again to trust. Again, you know, who else do you go to? So many others, eh? We had a daughter who ended up in a wheelchair, a son who was wayward. I had a cancer diagnosis. All these, I feel, were real invitations. And when you have these invitations and you trust him, there's a history in him that you carry with you. So the next time, it's not any easier, but you have a history and you know he's going to see you through it. But right now, I'm praying not just that I can trust him in these situations, but that I will be able to learn to thrive. And it's almost like it's an invitation to a new mindset, because it's good. It's new for me, because I usually see, you know, the darkness covering the earth. You know that verse? And we do. I mean, the news, eh? Like, there's all kinds of darkness going on out there. But I want to learn in the darkness to see the light and to rise and shine. I want to know the glory of God rising on me, even as the gross darkness is covering the peoples. Okay, one more thought. And that is, in this new mindset, I want to see, like, spiritual atmospheres increasing in a good way, in a godly way. And I think that's the greatest invitation, is the Lord is inviting us to see his kingdom here on earth. Yep. And he does declare that the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. And the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Isn't that a good perspective? Do I ever see that? It's rare, but I want to change. Okay, so in all these, you know, my life, there's been brokenness, there's been fears, all these things, but I feel that the Lord, in a moment, he can swallow all that up. Have you ever felt that? Like, in a moment, it gets just swallowed up, and it's no longer there. And we have to kind of fight to keep that, but that's possible. Okay, so I actually want to let you know that I don't stand here like on my own faith. I have a spiritual heritage, and I want to honor my mom and my grandmothers. So my mom, she's the one at the piano with the glasses. I didn't know she played piano until I heard her one time I was in bed. Anyway, so her dad died when she was 12, and I did not learn until I was an adult that the funeral for my grandpa was Christmas Eve. And my mom, bless her, always kept Christmas well. Like she made it for us as kids, a celebration. It was a thing of beauty, even as adults, right, Chuck? So somehow she overcame that deep loss and sorrow. And her mom is sitting behind, well, the older lady there is my grandma. So when, after my grandpa died, she was advised by the church elders to take her 7 children and kind of farm them out to other families. They were very, very poor. But against that advice, she chose to keep them together. And years later, this picture was in a Mennonite magazine, and there's a woman who wrote about this family, and it was written of her how, and this is a quote, "The family had managed to remain together and thrive." And I thought, wow. So out of those 7 children, there's 1 secretary, 2 nurses, 1 high school teacher, 2 professors, and 1 doctor. We're all professionals out of this poverty, broken family. So I honor what God has done in these 2 women here. And my dad, of course, his mom, she suffered loss too. There was her oldest son died at sea. I think Chuck has mentioned him, because he took my dad to Argentina with this uncle of mine when he died at sea. He was on his way to Argentina to be a missionary, but he didn't make it. So Chuck ended up taking my dad almost 50 years later to the same place. So my grandma, again, suffered loss, but she was also very industrious. And after the World War II, she opened her kitchen and made it, they called it a cutting room. So she managed and made this kitchen a cutting room, which means she purchased cloth and then they cut it out, these patterns, and they would send them to these churches, sewing circles. Back in the day, they had sewing circles. And they made clothes to send over to Europe, you know, for wartime aid. So again, such a beautiful heritage I have, and I'm just so encouraged, and I thank the Lord for these examples in my life. So my encouragement, they were also very praying, like they were a woman of prayer and faith. And so they're my example as a grandma now, that there's prayers and a spiritual atmosphere that can be created that makes a difference in the life of a child, in the life of your family. There's a spiritual atmosphere, just worship. Bring your intercession and prayers, your brokenness, everything. And he does a beautiful thing. He does a beautiful thing. The atmosphere of his presence, I'm going to read what I wrote here. It resets minds. It pushes back darkness. It releases captives. It brings protection. It dismantles strongholds and uproots evil. There's something about the greater of God. You know, like where sin abounds, grace much more. It swallows up that sin. Sin cannot overcome grace, but grace can overcome sin. Where fear has a grip, perfect love casts it out. Light dispels darkness. Glory dispels gross darkness. And I feel that at this time in history, we are seeing the light of God. And that perspective I want to have is to see that pushed back and the glory released. So he's inviting me now to reset my thinking. And Psalm 68, let the godly rejoice. Let them be glad in God's presence. Let them be filled with joy. Sing praises to his name. Sing loud praises to him who rides the clouds. His name is the Lord. Rejoice in his presence. Lord, give us the word. The women who proclaim the good tidings are a great host.
Let's give all 3 ladies a great round of applause.